Chapter 37. Gagarin Avenue. Jake stood in front of the Gagarin Arch and flexed his fingers inside the gauntlet. He spread them wide again, then slid the thick finger through the trigger guard. He'd loaded almost all of his remaining ammo, 24 rounds, into the magazine. There'd been one round left over. He'd toyed with the idea of carrying it in a pocket of the spacesuit, just in case, but he had a dislike of carrying single rounds. Too many other connotations, keeping one bullet aside. The holster still sat back in the bag. It had been designed to fit over a spacesuit leg, but he didn't want to fight with it. Easier to tie the pistol to his wrist with some cord, just like any other tool.
"You ready?"
asked Ganbatar. Jake nodded.
"Seals look good."
He slapped Jake twice on the shoulder.
"Beats me. Haven't worn a suit since I qualified to move up here. Claustrophobia, you know? They don't even keep one my size in stock."
"Lucky you."
"Yeah, tell me about it."
"Tessa?"
"I'm here," said a voice in his helmet. "Are you in the avenue yet?"
"Just about to open the doors."
The big Mongolian set his hand on the control panel.
"Here we go."
The doors to Gagarin Avenue hissed open. A dark-haired zombie stepped forward. Ganbatar slammed his big fist into its nose and sent it flipping down the hallway.
"Thanks," said Jake.
"Sorry I can't do more."
Jake lumbered forward. The bodies from his last journey through the hall still sprawled on the floor. Dark blood still streaked the walls. A discarded Luna City Gray's baseball bat had come to rest where the wall and floor met. He looked down at the pistol. He'd held it dozens of times during his time on the moon. Field stripped it and cleaned it. He knew every millimeter of it. It felt wrong in his hand. It had felt wrong earlier when he'd used it in the avenue. It felt wrong now. Like an old pair of shoes that used to fit perfectly, but 6 years later were stiff and uncomfortable. He raised it anyway. Behind him, the doors slid shut. The zombie had rolled back to its feet, a tall woman with jet black hair and bruises on her neck, the one who'd been caught in the avenue after they grabbed the meteorite. Jake had seen her at Luna City's theater a few times and never even learned her name. An emaciated dead man in a blue suit shuffled forward with her, one of the ones who'd held her back and probably choked her to death.
"Tessa?"
"Yes, what do you need?"
"The woman who helped get us in with the rock, the one with dark hair."
"Marianne? Is she there? Is she one of them? I can see you in the top of someone's head in the foreground."
"All I wanted to know," he said. "Thanks."
Jake put a bullet in Marianne's forehead. It lifted her off her feet as if she'd hopped back. Then he swung his arm to the right, knocked away the emaciated man's grabby fingers, and put a round through his eye. He didn't wait for them to drift to the ground. He marched forward. He could hear the air being sucked away around him.
"I'm getting ready to open the next hatch now,"
Tessa told him.
"This whole stretch of the avenue is essentially one big airlock now. It's all vacuum beyond this."
"Got it."
He reached the end, another set of the heavy emergency doors. He'd seen more of them in the past 3 days than in 6 years on the moon. The sound of rushing air faded. The airlock cycled. The outer hatch opened with a faint puff of dust as the last scraps of air rushed outside. A zombie waited on the other side, its back to the door. A man, about Jake's age and build, the collar on its dark green suit twisted up on one side. The dead man turned slowly as if burdened with a spacesuit of his own. Jake set the pistol against the zombie's neck, just between the spine and the soft spot under the ear. The zombie turned a little more and Jake squeezed the trigger. A cloud of lunacrete particles exploded off the far wall and collided in midair with the spray of blood. Gore and bone painted the wall. The body tipped forward, heading for the floor as Jake moved past it. The avenue's lights still worked. He'd walked this passageway 100 times at least. It had never been this stark and silent. A freeze-dried woman in a blue robe stumbled around the corner. He let her approach, batted her arms away, and pushed the pistol straight under her chin. Another squeeze of the trigger. The round blasted a chunk of her spine down the hall. Her head swung to the left, hit her shoulder, and she collapsed. The inside of his helmet smelled like sand. Sand and dust and smoke he knew he couldn't smell because he was in a spacesuit, outside in a vacuum. Imaginary smells, just some memories misfiring because he had a pistol in his hand again. He rounded the corner and saw three little boys. His boots scraped on the lunacrete, his breath caught on the back of his tongue. An icon flashed in his heads-up display, alerting him to his elevated heart rate. The three boys stepped forward. A dusty funeral shroud wrapped around each one. They had dark hair. They glared at Jake with frozen eyes. The boys, his boys, his victims, wouldn't have been buried on the moon. The families had been poor and nowhere near one of the elevators. They weren't up here with him.
No, he muttered. No, they are not.
The dead boys reached for him. One grabbed each wrist as the third fumbled with the cuff of his right glove. Tiny fingers pried at the latches. Jake shook off his daze and pulled the trigger. The boy holding that wrist staggered back as the bullet punched through his chest and chipped the floor. Stupid waste of a bullet. He grabbed the dead kid holding his other wrist, heaved, and slammed him into the one trying to unfasten the glove. All three boys stumbled back to their feet. One got a round in the top of his skull. The others each got one in the face. The smallest corpse kept moving. Jake kicked it hard. It flew into the wall and crumpled. He glanced at the clock in his heads-up display. He couldn't afford to get hung up like this. Callie probably had her suit on and was getting ready to bait the monster. Jake took three lumbering steps and hit the next zombie shoulder on. The dead man sailed up, crashed into a light bar, and drifted back down. Jake pistol-whipped it as he walked past and felt the side of its skull collapse.
Any problems?
Tessa's voice asked.
Nothing I can't handle. Everything else going okay?
Everything is going fine.
A dead woman, back of the neck. An elderly man, shot in the head. A younger woman with white blonde hair, base of the skull. Three more dead boys with dark hair. Jake slid to a halt again. What the fuck?
Beg your pardon?
Said Tessa.
Is something wrong, Jake?
Nothing, he said. I'm just... nothing.
What?
The three small zombies came at him. Each of them raised one arm, as if they were preparing to throw something. He took a deep breath.
Just forget it.
The arms came down, miming a throw, and Jake's finger tensed on the trigger. The phantom smells of gunpowder and sand and sweat drifted through his helmet again. A memory of children laughing. He hesitated. This time all three of them pawed at his pistol hand. He raised it above their heads over their grasping fingers. Their attention shifted to the waist and shoulder latches. Not three boys, he realized. Two boys and a girl with short-cropped hair. Not in a shroud, but in a dirty white dress. And one of the others was a short teen in a faded robe. Not three boys, just something trying to mess with his head. Another zombie lumbered down the hallway to join the assault. Jake twisted his hips, yanking the latches away from the dead children, then swung his arm as he pivoted back. He battered their heads, knocking the trio to the floor. He pinned one down with his boot, shot the other two, then the one under his heel. Not even halfway down the hall, and more than half his ammo gone. The approaching zombie was a shriveled figure in a shapeless robe and a loose headscarf, an old man or woman. Jake made his gauntlet into a fist, brought it around and smashed the corpse across the jaw. It spun, stumbled, and fell. He marched past it, never breaking stride. The next curve brought Anubis into view, 40 meters. A black gash stretched from floor to ceiling in the side of the hallway, the gap where the docking sleeve had been pulled aside. 7 of the walking dead, all of them facing away. Whatever senses they used hadn't noticed him yet. He approached the first one, a woman with elaborate, frost-flecked braids, brought the pistol up to the side of her neck, just beneath her skull, and fired. His old orbital combat training came back, just like riding a bike. No sound to carry in space, but in low gravity, blood spray could carry 10 or 20 meters. Make sure nothing heads toward an unaware enemy. The second zombie, a bulky man in a dark, lapel-less suit, turned his head. Jake set a hand on the dead man's shoulder, yanked him back, and shot him through his shriveled, frozen eye. The dead man's head snapped back as he continued his slow fall to the floor. The third zombie was a... Past them all, there were more dead boys standing in front of Anubis. Dark hair. Funeral shrouds. Jake gritted his teeth. He stepped alongside the third zombie, pressed the barrel of the Glock against its ear, and squeezed the trigger. 2 more steps brought him to the next one. He shoved it over, watched it glide down the hall, crash into the floor at the trio's feet. The 3 dead boys smiled, raised their hands, lurched forward past the fallen zombie. One of them was 5 years old, at the most, maybe as young as 3. The arms came down, hurling phantom objects. They grabbed the Glock and fumbled it from his grip, not out of his hand, but just out of his palm, closer to the tips of the glove's thick, clumsy fingers. Little hands pawed at the wrist latches. 1 popped open. A warning light snapped on his suit. An insistent ping rang in his ear. A dead woman in a business suit fumbled her way through the gap between the buggy and the docking sleeve. Her foot caught at the narrow bottom, tripping her in slow motion. She tipped, fell, and hit the Lunacrete floor face first without even trying to catch herself. 2 of her teeth broke off and skittered silently away. The zombie he'd shoved down the hall, a gaunt person with a nearly shaved head, stood up behind the boys. Jake twisted his wrist around, grabbed the middle child, the largest one, and lifted him up. The dead thing shifted in his hands, not strong enough to fight. The smile had vanished. Its face was blank, the skin tight on the cheekbones. It wasn't even a boy. He held a small woman with sharp cheekbones in a pale blue dress. He swung the zombie around, battering the other 2 with it. They staggered back and bounced off the side of the buggy. He threw the dead woman at the skinhead and knocked them both into Anubis as well. He flexed his fingers, shifted his grip, and the Glock settled back against his palm. He smacked the open latch with the pistol's butt, and it snapped tight again around his wrist. 7 rounds left, according to the pistol's counter. 2 to the skinhead, spraying a fan of clumpy material across the side of the buggy. 1 in the ear of the small woman, definitely not a child. Just as she straightened up, the dead woman in the business suit got 1 right in the center of the face, exploding her nose. The 2 zombie boys struggled out from under the small woman, and he put a bullet in the top of each of their heads before they rose from their hands and knees. The dead children slumped to the floor. The wet splashes around them could have been burst water balloons. The dusty Lunacrete could have been any road along the base of the Hindu Kush Mountains. 1 round left in the Glock. Down to 1 bullet after all. Jake shook his head inside his helmet. The back of his head hadn't itched like this in years. His gut itched. He turned around, looking for anything that might be watching him. More zombies struggled to get through the broken seal of the docking sleeve, all children, all dark-haired. "Newbie, it's Jake. Open the side hatch."
"Hello, Jake," said the AI. "As a reminder, opening the side hatch in a vacuum will result in..."
"Just open it."
"Okay, Jake."
The door opened and air blasted out. A cloud of sparkling snow formed as the panel slid away, revealing the inside of the buggy. The interior lights surged to life. He took two quick steps and leaped inside. "Close it. Emergency restore."
"Okay, Jake."
The hatch slid shut. Before it closed, a zombie boy crawled into his line of sight and smiled at him. How many sets of three kids had he just seen? Almost a dozen of them altogether? Even if they hadn't all turned out to be kids, what were the odds of such a freakish coincidence? Someone was trying to get under his skin. Someone was getting under his skin. He spread his fingers and let the gun drop. A heartbeat passed, and then the string tying it to his gauntlet jerked. The pistol swung and tapped his chin. 32 minutes since he left Callie in the vents, ahead of schedule. He'd be there and waiting for her when the purge happened.
"I finished the emergency restore, Jake. You can remove your suit if you'd like."
He reached over, unfastened his left gauntlet, and flung it to the floor with a quick flick of his wrist. The right one came off even faster. He popped the latches on the helmet, wrenched it off, and threw it at the couch.
"Power up, newbie. I want to be moving as soon as possible."
"Battery levels are very low, Jake. I estimate we only have 20 minutes of travel time at standard running speed."
He shuffled into the cockpit. The pack made it impossible to sit down, but he managed to lean back against the driver's seat.
"Got it. Power up. Let me know when everything's warm."
"Okay, Jake. Also, I think Tessa is calling you."
He frowned.
"You think?"
"I'm sorry, Jake. There seems to be an issue with the communications net."
"Put it on the screen."
"The communication is audio only."
"Go ahead, then." "That you, Tessa?"
"Of course it is. Who else would it be?"
He cracked the knuckles on one hand.
"How's Callie doing?"
"You can relax for a few minutes. It's taking her a little longer than expected to get through the vents."
"No problem. I'll drive over and be waiting for her."
"Don't. You'll just attract more zombies. Put Anubis on standby and wait for 10 or 15 minutes.
"What? She can't be that far behind."
"It's okay, Jake,"
said Tessa's voice.
"Everything's going according to plan."